Future punishment of sin. My views of a future and eternal punishment take in a poignant present sense of sin and its suffering, punishing itself here and hereafter till the sin is destroyed. St. John's types of sin scarcely equal the modern nondescripts whereby the demon of this world, its lusts, falsities, envy, and hate supply sacrilegious gossip with the verbiage of Hades. But hatred gone mad becomes imbecile, outdoes itself, and commits suicide. Then let the dead bury its dead, and surviving defamers share our pity. In the Greek, devil is named serpent, liar, the god of this world, and St. Paul defines this world's god as dishonesty, craftiness, handling the word of God deceitfully. The original text defines devil as accuser, calumniator. Therefore, according to Holy Writ, these qualities are objectionable and ought not to proceed from the individual, the pulpit, or the press. The scriptures once referred to an evil spirit as dumb, but in its origin, evil was loquacious and was supposed to outtalk truth and to carry a most vital point. Alas, if now it is permitted license under sanction of the gown to handle with garrulity, age, and Christianity. Shall it be said of this century that its greatest discoverer is a woman to whom men go to mock and go away to pray? Shall the hope for our race commence with one truth told and 100 falsehoods told about it? The present self-inflicted sufferings of mortals from sin, disease, and death should suffice so to awaken the sufferer from the mortal sense of sin and mind in matter as to cause him to return to the Father's house penitent and saved. Yea, quickly to return to divine love, the author and finisher of our faith, who so loves even the repentant prodigal, departed from his better self and struggling to return, as to meet the sad sinner on his way and to welcome him home. Medicine. Had not my first demonstrations of Christian Science or metaphysical healing exceeded that of other methods, they would not have arrested public attention and started the great cause that today commands the respect of our best thinkers. It was that I healed the deaf, the blind, the dumb, the lame, the last stages of consumption, pneumonia, etc., and restore the patients in from 1 to 3 interviews that started the inquiry, what is it? And when the public sentiment would allow it, and I had overcome a difficult stage of the work, I would put patients into the hands of my students and retire from the comparative ease of healing to the next more difficult stage of action for our cause. From my medical practice, I had learned that the dynamics of medicine is mind. In the highest attenuations of homeopathy, the drug is utterly expelled. Hence, it must be mind that controls the effect. And this attenuation, in some cases, healed where the allopathic doses would not. When the mother tincture of 1 grain of the drug was attenuated 1,000 degrees less than in the beginning, that was my favorite dose. The weak criticisms and woeful warnings concerning Christian Science healing are less now than were the sneers 40 years ago at the medicine of homeopathy. And the medicine of mind is more honored and respected today than the old-time medicine of matter. Those who laugh at or pray against transcendentalism and the Christian Scientist's religion or his medicine should know the danger of questioning Christ Jesus' healing, who administered no remedy apart from mind and taught his disciples none other. Christian Science seems transcendental because the substance of truth transcends the evidence of the five personal senses and is discerned only through divine science. If God created drugs for medical use, Jesus and his disciples would have used them and named them for that purpose, for he came to do the will of the Father. The doctor who teaches that a human hypothesis is above a demonstration of healing, yea, above the grandeur of our great master metaphysician's precept and example, and that of his followers in the early centuries, should read this scripture. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. The divine life, truth, love, whom men call God, is the Christian Scientist's healer. And if God destroys the popular triad, sin, sickness, and death, remember it is he who does it, and so proves their nullity. Christians and clergymen pray for sinners. They believe that God answers their prayers, and that prayer is a divinely appointed means of grace and salvation. They believe that divine power besought is given to them in times of trouble, and that he worketh with them to save sinners. I love this doctrine, for I know that prayer brings the seeker into closer proximity with divine love, and thus he finds what he seeks, the power of God to heal and to save. Jesus said, ask and ye shall receive, and if not immediately, continue to ask, and because of your often coming, it shall be given unto you. And he illustrated his saying by a parable. The notion that mixing material and spiritual means, either in medicine or in religion, is wise or efficient, is proven false. That animal natures give force to character is egregious nonsense, a flat departure from Jesus' practice and proof. Let us remember that the great metaphysician healed the sick, raised the dead, and commanded even the winds and waves, which obeyed him through spiritual ascendancy alone. Mental malpractice. From ordinary mental practice to Christian Science is a long ascent, but to go from the use of inanimate drugs to any susceptible misuse of the human mind, such as mesmerism, hypnotism, and the like, is to subject mankind unwarned and undefended to the unbridled individual human will. The currents of God flow through no such channels. The whole world needs to know that the milder forms of animal magnetism and hypnotism are yielding to its aggressive features. We have no moral right and no authority in Christian Science for influencing the thoughts of others, except it be to serve God and benefit mankind. Man is properly self-governed, and he should be guided by no other mind than truth, the divine mind. Christian Science gives neither moral right nor might to harm either man or beast. The Christian Scientist is alone with his own being and with the reality of things. The mental math practitioner is not, cannot be, a Christian Scientist. He is disloyal to God and man. He has every opportunity to mislead the human mind, and he uses it. People may listen complacently to the suggestion of the inaudible falsehood, not knowing what is hurting them or that they are hurt. This mental bane could not bewilder, darken, or misguide consciousness physically, morally, or spiritually if the individual knew what was at work and his power over it. This unseen evil is the sin of sins. It is never forgiven. Even the agony and death that it must sooner or later cause the perpetrator cannot blot out its effects on himself till he suffers up to its extinction and stops practicing it. The crimes committed under this new old regime of necromancy or diabolism are not easily reckoned. At present, its mystery protects it, but its hidden modus and flagrance will finally be known, and the laws of our land will handle its thefts, adulteries, and murders, and will pass sentence on the darkest and deepest of human crimes. Christian Scientists are not hypnotists. They are not mortal mind curists, nor faith curists. They have faith, but they have science, understanding, and works as well. They are not the addenda, the exeteras, or new editions of old errors, but they are what they are, namely students of a demonstrable science leading the ages.